This is Ronald Coleman inviting you to radio's most dramatic half hour. Favorite story. On this favorite story series, many of the outstanding personalities of our century have suggested particular books or plays which have brought them greatest pleasure. Now, each time we hope that the story selector will pick something that's slightly offbeat. The kind of yarn you don't usually hear on the radio. The kind that will make you say, I just heard the darndest story on the air. Well, I think we've got one like that. It's Alexander Pushkin's The Queen of Spades. Probably the most famous gambling adventure ever written. It was selected by the world's foremost authority on the Arctic, explorer and author Vilhjalmr Stefansson. If you've ever had a hunch, a lucky number, or a drop of gambling blood in you, I'm certain you'll enjoy The Queen of Spades. Here's Act One.
Deck, banker.
Here you are, sir. Pick your three cards, any three you choose. Place them face down on the table, then declare your wagers.
There you are. 5 rubles on each.
May I please have quiet? Quiet, please. Ladies and gentlemen, observe that for each game, the bank opens a brand new deck of cards. So, would you be good enough to shuffle the deck? The bank wants to be certain that all its cards are chosen purely at random.
There you are.
We begin. The bank's first card is a 9.
No good.
The bank's second card, a 4.
No.
And the bank's third card, a 10, the 10 of diamonds. Oh, I am sorry, sir.
Yes, yes, I know you are. Well, that finishes me off financially for this month, thank you.
I'll try my luck, Miss Banker.
Yes, madam. Here you are, madam. Pick your three cards.
Excuse me, mein Herr. Could you explain this game to me?
Well, I could, if you like. Say, I've noticed you watching all evening, but you've never played.
I'm a stranger in Moscow. I do not understand the technicalities of this sport.
Oh, you're the new German attaché, of course. Delighted?
My pleasure.
Really, the only way to learn this confounded game is to play once. Why don't you try it? Though I am hardly the man to advise it.
Play interests me very much, but I'm not in the position to sacrifice the necessary in the hope of winning the superfluous.
A very sage and economical remark, and I wish I had made it.
This game is called...
Jeu de la Reine, the game of the queen. More commonly, Pharaoh.
Pharaoh? As in the ancient rulers of Egypt?
No, my friend. F-A-R-O. F as in fool.
Oh?
The name of every man who makes this game a habit. Frankly, it is like eating rich candy. You think you will take one piece and stop. But you never do. You try to consume the lot of it, and you end up with an empty bag and a bad bellyache. A as in amateur. For no tricky, smooth professional gambler has ever beaten this game. The ones who hit are the lucky newcomers. R? R is for rogue.
Oh.
The gentleman with the taking ways. The smiler. The gentleman with the teeth. There on the other side of the table.
And O?
O is for zero, which is what you have left.
This is very much like roulette, yes?
In a way, it's pure chance. You have merely to match the card number, not the suit.
And the odds?
13-1, naturally. 13 different cards. But you are paid 10-1. The odds are with the bank.
Oh, knowing this, why do people play?
Oh, you are joking. The human animal lives in the perpetual belief that at any moment a great fortune will be handed to him, and he doesn't have to turn a finger to earn it.
But if a person should hit on all three cards, one after another, would it be possible to break the bank, as you say? Wouldn't it, Doctor?
Ah, yes, yes. And every fool who plays that game thinks he has some mumbo-jumbo that will work.
Has anybody succeeded at this? Has anybody discovered a formula that really works?
Yes. Yes, somebody has.
His name?
It is a woman.
Oh.
A rather remarkable woman.
Alive?
Yes, though she is 85 years old. Perhaps 86.
And her name?
The Countess Anya Fedotovna. One night, half a century ago, she walked coolly up to the faro table, glanced at a slip of paper, chose her three cards, and won. One, two, three.
What were the numbers?
Nobody knows. The banker who matched her cards has been dead these many years, and the Countess has never told a living person.
It would be interesting to meet this old Countess face to face.
I've often thought the same thing, but there's not a chance. Not a chance in the world.
Mind, a rational German mind, to figure out this thing mathematically. The arrangement of the banker's deck. How many variations, how many permutations are there possible? 52, many more. Change the order of one card and the odds jump up. Your odds, 13-1. His card, 52. 52 times 13, that's 676. And your chances of hitting all three, 676 times 676 times 676, 676 cubed. Let me see here. 2,769,693,376 to one that you can hit all three cards in order correctly. No, that's wrong. Oh, if I could only get some sleep. Why must I keep thinking of those three stupid cats? And of a countess old enough to be my grandmother. I'm setting this down, all my plans, in case anything should go wrong. This to prove I have no malice aforethought. The pistol I shall carry will not be loaded. I do not wish the old woman any harm. I merely wish to speak to her for 5 minutes. For 3 minutes. For 3 breaths. Just long enough for her to speak 3 numbers. It was all very easy when I decided to take action. Why did I torture myself for so many weeks? A small bribe to a servant. Tonight he will leave a door unlatched. A flight of stairs, and at midnight I'll be standing outside her bedchamber. Do not be alarmed. For heaven's sake, do not be alarmed. I have no intention of doing you any harm.
Who are you? What are you doing here?
A stranger, but a friend. I've come to ask a favor of you.
I am an old woman. Go away.
Listen to me, Countess. You can ensure the happiness of my life. I know that you can name 3 cards in order.
Oh. It was a joke. It was only a joke. It never happened.
But I know it did. Everybody in Moscow says it did.
Is this all they say about me in the streets of Moscow? Do you know that in Paris they used to call me the Masquerade Venus? And people used to run just to catch a glimpse of me? But that was 65 years ago.
You are still beautiful, Countess. The black lace on your head, your piercing eyes.
A woman believes such flattery until she's 85. But when she's 86, she knows better.
Tell me one thing only, Countess, and I will go away. I promise you this. Tell me, did it happen? Did you walk up to a faro table and pick three winning cards?
This is to be my immortality?
I beg you.
It happened.
Tell me your secret.
Tell you? I have not told my own sons. Why should I tell you?
Countess, I sink on my knees to you. If you have any humanity in your heart, you will take me out of this torture. I cannot live unless I know the secret. I'd pay any price. The happiness of a man is in your grasp. Tell me, and I shall reverence you as a saint.
Go away.
You old hag. Then I will make you answer.
Please put down your pistol. I do not like guns. They frighten me. Please, I am an old lady.
Come, an end to the childish nonsense. I ask you for the last time, will you tell me the names of those three cards?
Will you go away if I tell you?
Yes.
Three. Seven. Ace. And may heaven curse you for the knowledge of this. Three. Seven.
Countess. The yellow face. The one eye still open. The black lace on her head. Looks exactly like one of the pictures in a deck of cards. The Queen of Spades.
We're ready for Act Two of Explorer Stefansson's favorite story, The Queen of Spades. Before the old Countess died, she told the German the magic combination to beat the game of faro. 3, 7, 8. 3, 7, 8.
Message by fast post. The Berlin National Bank, Wilhelmstrasse. Please cash immediately. All security savings in my name and deposit to my credit at Moscow Exchange. My dear brother, go to my quarters in Berlin. Convert into ready cash on my effects. My books, my linen, my clothes. Sell the rug off the floor. I must have every last pfennig I can squeeze together.
Yes, what can I do for you, sir?
How much can you give me on this watch?
Yes, 5 rubles.
5. It's worth at least 50.
5 rubles.
Sold. My dear mother, I am sending you this letter by special messenger because this is a matter of extreme urgency. I know your little house is your last remaining possession, Martha, and I know how fond you are of it. You wrote me not long ago that your local burgomaster offered you 14,000 marks for it. As your son, I ask you this favor. Sell him your house. Send me the money. Steal a friend for a week. No, only 4 days. Within that time, I shall buy you the finest house in your town, but I ask you to hurry, hurry, hurry. Special message to the Baron von Lippitz. You know me. You know I have strong muscles and a large back. I am capable of a long, long hours of hard physical labor. What do you estimate such a man is worth to you a year? As a servant, a lackey, a mere slave? 1,000 rubles, maybe. Baron, if you will advance me 20,000 rubles for 2 days, I will pay you back 40,000. Or work as your slave for the next 20 years. I offer you 100% profit for a mortgage on my life.
Good evening, my friend. I have not seen you around the faro tables for some time now.
Good evening.
Been busy with affairs of state?
Yes, it's busy, quite busy.
If you've come to observe the faro game, you've come to see a slaughter. Nobody has hit a card all evening.
I remember your saying, the odds are with the bank.
A good point to remember. It keeps your money in your pocket, your soul free, and your body a sufficient distance away from the gentleman with the taking whiz. I congratulate you on your ability to stay out of the game. I wish I had your willpower.
I'm going back to Germany shortly. So I think that perhaps tonight I might try my luck. Just once, of course, for the momentary thrill. My friends in Berlin will think I'm not much of a man of the world if I don't try the famous Russian game. Just once.
Well, it certainly never harms a person to make a small bet just once. It's the regular customers who get hurt. Oh, you've heard, of course, about the Countess.
The Countess?
The one we were talking about the last time I saw you here.
I'm not certain I recall.
You Germans amaze me. The Countess Anya, the old woman who was said to have had the system of beating this game. She died quite suddenly. Or did you know?
Oh, I've been quite busy. I haven't been reading the newsprint.
An old lady, full of years. Her heart merely stopped beating.
Oh, so sad. If you'll excuse me, I think I'll try that taking that plunge.
Certainly. a simple bit of advice for beginners.
Yeah.
Put 2 rubles on your first card, 4 on the second, 8 on the third. When you've finished, you've donated 14 rubles to the banker's pocketbook, and you merely count it an expensive evening's entertainment.
Oh, thank you. You are most kind to beginners. But if I should break through these staggering odds and win on any one card, what is your advice?
Still double up on the next card, because then you're betting with not only your own money, but the banker's too.
You Russians are more mathematical than even we Germans. So now, we try, yeah?
Good evening, gentlemen. Would you care to try a game of faro?
I see the bank has been so lucky tonight, you've frightened away all your customers.
It's a game of chance, gentlemen.
Would you allow me to take a deck, please?
Certainly, sir. Here you are, a brand new deck.
Thank you.
Pick your 3 cards, sir. Place them face down on the gaming table. And declare your wages. Any 3 cards of your choice.
3 cards.
And may heaven curse you for the knowledge of this.
Take your time, sir.
affair.
You will observe, sir, that the bank opens a fresh deck of cards. The bank wants you to be certain that all its cards are chosen purely at random.
And now, if you'll place your wager, sir, we'll try our luck.
One question. Is there any limit on how much may be wagered on each card?
No limit, sir.
Then I should like to bet this amount. On the first card, please.
How much? I'm afraid I can't see quite clearly.
47,000 rubles.
47,000?
Oh, somebody is sending 47,000 rubles.
My friend, you've taken leave of your senses.
Not at all.
Quiet, ladies and gentlemen, I beg you. Sir, allow me to inform you that you are playing very high. Nobody here has ever staked more than 275 rubles on one card. And that bet made history. People speak of it to this day.
47,000 rubles on the first card. Does the bank accept my wager or not?
The bank accepts.
If you are ready, I am. Please deal.
I am ready. The bank's first card. A three. Yours, sir?
My first card is also a three. I have won. Oh,
my congratulations.
This is amazing. 470,000 rubles. I must insist upon quiet, quiet. Shall we continue?
If you please, will you place my winnings all on the second card, please, in addition to my original wager?
My friend, take what you have won. You are a rich man. Bet 5, 10, perhaps 50 rubles on the second card.
But did you not suggest that beginners should double up on each bet?
This is different.
Is it? My friend, would you be so good as to get me a small glass of lemonade? My throat is quite dry.
Yes, of course.
If the bank is ready, I'm ready for the second card.
The bank is ready. You realize, sir, there is the fortune of an emperor on that one bit of pasteboard.
I realize this. Now, be so good as to turn up your next card. This waiting is a form of torture.
The bank turns up as its second card. A seven. Will you turn your card, sir?
Yeah. I also have a seven.
I've never seen anything like this in all my life.
Please, ladies and gentlemen, quiet, please. The bank will write you a promissory note for this, sir. I doubt if there is that much currency available at the moment in the entire city of Moscow.
Your note will be quite satisfactory.
I trust that the gentleman intends to place a substantial wager on his third card. Good sportsmanship would dictate it. You must allow us the chance of recouping some of these tremendous losses.
We Germans also know something of what you call good sportsmanship. Kindly do me the favor of placing all my winnings, plus my original wager, on the third and final card. I believe it is a custom here to play for all or nothing.
You're a madman.
You think so, my friend? Banker, should we continue?
Yes, sir.
You look at me, sir, as if I held a pistol to your head. No, come now. We do not duel. This is a game of cards.
Very well. We continue.
Your card, banker. Why do you hesitate? Turn it over, quickly.
The bank turns up as its third card.
An ace. An ace. I'm the richest man in Europe.
Quiet.
The richest man in the entire world.
Quiet.
I've broken the bank. I've won three cards. The ace has won.
One moment. One moment, sir. Will the gentleman be good enough to turn up his own third card?
But of course. There.
Your card does not match, sir.
What?
It's a queen.
I should have picked an ace. What made me pick... The old countess. Her face. The blacklist cap. The yellow skin. The old countess. The queen of spades!
My boy, I've brought you here to a book of hospital on Visitor's Day to show you this man. He's been here many years now, confined behind a cage, like an animal. He's in there, where they keep the insane ones. There.
3, 7. Queen. 3, 7, 8. 3, 7, Queen. 3, 7, 8. 3, 7, Queen.
Remind me when I get home to throw away every deck of cards in the house. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to Alexander Pushkin's famous story called The Queen of Spades. Our thanks to Edmund MacDonald, who played the German, Jeff Corey, who was the croupier, and to Gloria Gordon, who brought to life The Queen of Spades. And our thanks, of course, to Arctic explorer Stefansson, who named this yarn as his particular favorite story. Our favorite story for next week has been called The Greatest Book Ever Written in America. Mark Twain's Mississippi classic, The Adventures of Huckleberry Finn. It's the favorite story choice of one of the most truly American artists of our time, the man who began the Beguine, clarinetist, composer, conductor, Artie Shaw. We hope you'll be listening.